this is my trend. No, I'm not perfect, I wanna get it right. So I encourage my own self, turn left, focus on my own shelf, reach for the top, don't stop. Ooh,
Pam.
Yeah. I feel good, I'm so grateful. I feel good, I'm so thankful. I feel good, man, I'm so blessed. I feel good. Hands up.
Hands.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Yeah.
it's hard to get along. It's hard to get along. It's hard to get along, my Lord. I just can't hardly get along. We gonna make it.
Oh yes, we are.
We gonna make it.
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 Church, we gonna make it.
We gonna make it.
We gonna make it. Church, we gonna make it.
We gonna make it.
And we gonna make it.
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 It's hard, can't hardly get along.
Praise him, my darling.
Yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise him this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Lord, we come at this hour of the morning just to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your loving kindness. Thank you for your patience for us and with us. Thank you, Lord, for giving your son to die in our place on Calvary Hill. But early on the first day of the week, you got him up, and we just want to say thank you. Allowed us to come to your house of prayer safely. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Yield and still in thy holy hands. Have thy own way, Lord. Just have your way this morning. In the precious and glorious and magnificent name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. And the church said, amen, amen, and amen. To Evangelist Lavallee and to the officers and members of this glorious Church of the Lord, Mount Island Baptist Church, it is just a blessing that God have allowed us to assemble one more time. And we thank God for this moment. For all that we have is this glorious moment right now. The choir has done such a marvelous job. Tammy, pianist, beautiful job. Thank you so much. Makes preaching a whole lot easier when the choir is on fire. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Manali. Thank you for all that you're doing to keep us focused, keep us going up the King's Highway. I want to share message with us this morning from the 11th chapter of Matthew, chapter 11. Very familiar passage of scripture, beginning at verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 28. And I will be reading from the Amplified Bible. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Release and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quietness for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. May God bless the reader and hearer of his divine word. Just for a little while, I want to talk to you from the thought, Jesus, our place of rest. Jesus, our place of rest. Matthew is the writer of our text. His name means the gift of God. He was a Galilean Jew, also called Matthew in Mark's Gospel 2, chapter 2, verse 14. He resided at Capernaum, where he was a publican, a tax collector under the Romans. We have one gospel, but four writers. Matthew, purpose for writing was to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Mark, Matthew wrote mainly to the Jews. Mark wrote to the Romans. And Luke, being the only Greek writer, wrote to the Gentiles. And John wrote a universal gospel to all. For he said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we find Matthew using more Old Testament scripture than the other three gospel writers. We find that Matthew, the book has 28 chapters, 1,071 verses, 28,684 words, according to Bard's Bible handbook. And this chapter, 11th chapter of Matthew, it deals with the doubts of John the Baptist, verses 1 through 6, the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, verses 7 through 19, and the wickedness of the cities where Jesus had been preaching, verses 20 through 24. And in this contents, Jesus has been surrounded by those who were weary, either with vain efforts at religion or their equally vain struggles against sin. These were people who needed to know that there is a place of rest, a place which you can run and where we can rest from the labors of our soul. While people run here and there trying to find peace, Jesus says it simply and calmly, come unto me and I will give you peace, rest. There's a place of rest. There's a place of quietness. There's a place of peace, and his name is Jesus. Now this rest that Jesus promised us is not physical rest, but spiritual rest. Rest for our soul. Whether you realize it or not, your spirit needs some rest every now and then, just like the physical body. And when the spirit is weary, when the soul is weary, it causes a malfunction in the rest of the body. You feel tired all over. And it's not from work or what have you, but because the soul needs rest. People are running, they're looking, they're seeking, they're struggling, they're striving, they're fighting, they're loving, they're rushing, they're searching, all in an effort to find what only Jesus can give. In these verses, through a series of commands and invitations, Jesus invites you and me to enter that place of spiritual rest. And this morning, we want to just examine this invitation. As I speak to you on this subject, there is a place of rest in Jesus. Well, he says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, overburdened, and I will, Jesus now, give you rest. In other words, this is a call to salvation. When one is not truly saved, it will cause them to be restless. Yeah. The old theologian St. Augustine said that a man's soul is restless till he meet God. Right. Only God can fill the void of restlessness. Here, he calls us to salvation. That is the essence of salvation, to give you breathing room, to give you rest in the midst of whatever you're going through with. And the only way that you can get it is to come to Jesus. You can join every church in this city. That won't save you. I can baptize you to every tadpole, know you by name, but that won't save you. I can preach to heaven, get to you, but if I have not accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that won't save you. You're singing in the choir, and I love it, and you've done a beautiful job, but just that alone won't save you. We are in a time now when most folks base their salvation on performance rather than belief. But Paul says that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. Not of any works of any man, suppose. You didn't do it yourself. It's a gift from God. And you are saved to work. Because he said, we are his workmanship. And he has created us for good works that he's already prepared ahead of time. You work because you saved. Yeah. But this is here. And salvation only comes to us by coming to Jesus. Salvation is only found in coming to Jesus. You have to accept him as your Lord and your Savior. And Luke says in Acts that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which he must be saved. You got to come to Jesus, my darling. There's no other way. Jesus here now is inviting you to come. If you're struggling in the burden of doubt, he said, come. If you're struggling in a yoke of religious legalism, he said, come. Yeah. Struggling with a bondage of sin and guilt, Jesus says, come, because he's the only one that can set us free. Yeah. Calls us to come, be saved. Secondly, he commands us to surrender. Huh? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, humble, lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. See, you can't surrender till you are saved. See, we run around trying to get people to surrender to Christ. They ain't saved. You can't surrender to somebody you don't know. You were saved by a person, Jesus Christ. And you have to surrender to a person, Jesus Christ. And so you have to know who he is. Amen. In order to you to surrender. Yeah. But salvation comes first. Then secondly, he's calling us now to surrender. You know, you can't live like a married man till you get married. Huh? After you are saved, you ought to live like a saved person. After you saved. There ought to be a difference. Well, there is a difference. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation creature. All things are passed away and all things become new. He's saying, take my yoke. In other words, Jesus wants you to yoke up with him. In other words, he wants us to surrender through his guidance, to surrender to his word, to surrender to his authority, be obedient to the word of God. That's what it means to surrender, to do what the Lord say do, to do what doth say the Lord. And let me say something to us. That's why he says in that text there, he say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The Greek word that learned is the same as a disciple. In other words, what Jesus saying, I want you to follow me. Yeah. I've set the example. I showed you how to forgive. But you got to learn forgiveness through the word of God in the help of the Holy Spirit. I done showed you how to love. Do it. I done showed you how to give and to share, for I gave all for you. But all I need you to do now is surrender to my authority, to my guidance, to my direction. And we are a people that don't want nobody telling us nothing. Building can be on fire, because who says it's on fire? We just sit there. I ain't on fire. You can't tell me what to do. And God knows you don't want the preacher to give you no kind of guidance. What are you talking about? He don't know what he's talking about. He ain't always been that or whatever. If I'm drowning, and I've said this to you more than one time, I'm drowning. I don't care if he's Catholic, Jew, Hindu, or no dude. Give me the lifeline and pull me out. Because I can't swim. Paul in Philippians, he said, if he is preaching Jesus Christ, no matter what his motive ought to be good, but if he preaching Jesus Christ, you do it. God will take care of him. You may think you my boss man. God's my boss man. I'm his child. And he'll get a strap out for me. He'll whoop on me. Has whooped on me. Jesus is saying you got to surrender. Lay it all on the altar. Jesus will enable you to live for him now. If you yield the control of your life to him. Then Jesus said the other day, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Well, that means to die to self. Your self-interest. Your selfishness. Die to that. Paul said, I die daily. And take up your cross daily. Other words, we said it this morning. Other words, take up your crisis. Face your crisis or whatever. Whatever comes into your life on your pathway, just face up to it. And he'll give you the strength to go through it. And don't you know trials make us better? If you saw some gold when they dig it up in South Africa, you throw it away. Ain't nothing of that. But oh, when they put it in the furnace and they burn it, it's just like fire. And they pour it out, the oil out. You got gold. But it didn't look like nothing in the beginning. Diamond the same way. It don't look like too much. But that craftsman with the scissor and a hammer, he had to hit it right now. And see, Jesus know where the chisel at, right? Just right. And he hit and he hit, and there you got a shining bright diamond. So trials refines us. Trials empower our faith in God. You didn't ever do anything, you wouldn't know whether you could trust God or not. Faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And Jesus is saying, come unto me. I'm going to give you rest. In other words, he's saying, you can yoke up with me. See, the yoke is made for two oxen. One on the right, one on the left. And that yoke is fitted just right for each oxen. Because no two oxen necks is the same. And Jesus is saying, I got a yoke for you. That's all right. It's fitted just for Brother Brown. I can't fit that one. But since he's a carpenter, hallelujah, he knows how to fine-tune that yoke. And don't you know when you pull in that load and you got somebody pulling with you? Hallelujah. Oh, it ain't so bad. But you got somebody pulling with you. Not away from you, but with you. It ain't so bad. And sure enough, when he got more power than you got. And that yoke keeps the oxen's focus. Jesus said, if you learn of me, you'll stay focused. You'll stay focused. So here he calls us to salvation. Commands us to surrender all to him. And finally, he challenges us to serve. Challenges us to serve. For he said, my yoke is wholesome and useful and good and not harsh and not hard and not sharp, not pressing. It's comfortable, not uncomfortable. See, the Jews at that time, they was under the burden of the laws of the Pharisees. That was a heavy yoke on them, trying to keep the law. But Jesus said, if you hook up with me, I'll change the law to love. And all you got to do is just love. Because when you love, you're going to have some joy. When you love, you're going to have some peace. When you love, you're going to be meek. When you love,